everybody. Welcome to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and I cannot believe we are in the holiday season. I hope that you're as excited about that as I am, because I absolutely love the holidays. And this is going to be a really fun show for you, because we have our regular guest, Gina Tepper, here today to help us figure out some great crafts. And her crafts, what I love the most about her crafts is that they're doable for those of us who may not, you know, we might be craft challenged. And they're also really great on your wallet. They're budget friendly, and she does her best to recycle. So it's really fun to have Gina as always. And we're going to kick off the show with one of our favorite guests of all time, our executive editor of Working Mother, Barbara Trivette. Thank you so much for being here today.
Ho, 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 ho. Jingle bells. No, we're not quite there yet, are we?
Well, you know what? We are, because my five-year-old, because they've got to learn their songs prior to break time, they've started singing all the songs. And last night at dinner, my five-year-old started busting out all of his new holiday songs, and it was the cutest, sweetest thing in the world. And so I am in full Christmas spirit swing over here.
Well, we certainly are at Working Mother, because as you know, we prepare content ahead of time, and we've actually launched this week 4 gift guides. So we're definitely getting ready for the holidays by helping all you great people out there, giving you very cherry-picked specific item tips on, you know, what to get for everyone in your life. And so we're entrenched in the holidays as we speak.
Oh, we love that. That's awesome. Now, we have a lot of great content, as always, on our website. And when you get a moment to check it out, you really should, because we cover the gamut of everything you'd want to know as a working mom. But one of the articles that we have up right now is on career. And it's 5 beliefs that mess up career success and how to change them. And Barb's going to share with us these beliefs and these tips today.
Yes, I am. This is a really good topic for working moms, and here's why. Okay, so everybody has insecurities about the way they do their job. Everybody, I don't care who you are, I won't even mention certain people who were just elected to be president, I bet have some insecurities about their job. But not getting into that. But no, everybody does. But when you're a woman, that's heightened for a lot of reasons. And when you're a woman who's a mother who works, that's heightened even more. Those insecurities are heightened even more for all kinds of reasons. We don't think we're doing our jobs well enough because we're also focusing on our families and our children. Or the guys always talk more and do more and make you feel like you're just not quite as good as they are. Or whatever, whatever, whatever. There are so many reasons why working moms feel like they're not good at their jobs, or they're not doing it right, or something about their job or their workplace. I know for me, when I made a career change many years ago, from I used to be an actor and a singer, and then I went into magazine publishing, for years I felt like I was fooling somebody, or was I fooling them? That was sort of in my head all the time, because I didn't start out in this career. So those other people who had been in it for a while, and then I walked in and kind of advanced fast because I learned on the job and I worked really hard to get to advance. But I felt like, oh my God, you know, they don't think I'm doing it right. Am I fooling them? That was my insecurity. And I had to get past that, you know, and I did get past that, because you know what? We have skills. We have talents. We have abilities. We're advancing in our careers. When you realize all that, you can get past some of these beliefs that kind of throw us off track. But for women and working moms, we have a lot of these little issues.
Yeah, well, and they can become big issues if we don't get a hold of them.
They can
really hold us back. And we don't, you know, the last thing you want is for what's going on inside of you, which, you know, you may be creating all on your own, to be holding you back from really your ability to give what you have to give. Because at the end of the day, you know, that's, you need to share your gifts. That's what we're here to do, and fulfill your purpose.
Absolutely. And that isn't about beating ourselves up either. I mean, we may be messing things up for ourselves, and a lot of, like I said, everybody has career insecurities. But it's not about beating yourself up because you may be doing this or you may be doing that, which is holding you back. It's about realizing what these things are and then getting a grip on them. And then changing your mindset. And that's what the tips of this article will help everyone do.
Well, I love it. Well, you know what? We're going to come back after the break and talk about the tips in this article. And again, go visit workingmother.com. And this article is under career, the heading of career. And it's called 5 Beliefs That Mess Up Career Success and How to Change Them. We'll be right back with all of that great advice right after this. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio. Stay with us.
Across the globe, a child goes blind every 5 seconds. We live in a culture saturated with visual cues, but for some, the world is a blur. Since 1997, the Little Rock Foundation has been leading innovative social programs, advancing legislation, and providing information and education to those affected by visual impairment. Gain the resources you need or make a donation today to the Little Rock Foundation. Find us on the web at tlrf.org. You can make a difference.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and I am here talking with Barbara Turvett of Working Mother Magazine. Thanks so much for being here today with us, Barbara.
It's always my great pleasure, and I mean that sincerely, Bettina, to talk to you. Always.
Thank you. Thank you. I love our time together, and I love this article because I do think that, you know, when we get in our own heads and we start to mess with ourselves, we can be our own worst enemies, and that's just it's unnecessary, and there are ways to change your thinking. So the 5 beliefs that mess up career success and how to change them, you can find it on workingmother.com, and let's get into it. What are the negative thoughts that get in the way of our career goals?
Well, here's a big one, okay? And this is the number one in this article, or at least the first one we talk about, and that is that you feel you need to have some sort of position of power or authority in order to be a leader or in order to lead. And that is a myth. That is not true. And I guess you want to know why that's not true.
I do want to know why that's not true. I think I know, but I want to hear you tell me why.
Okay. You know, everybody has abilities and skills and things to offer. And within those things, you can be a leader. It doesn't matter what your job title is. It doesn't even matter that you manage people or not. What that means is you have things within your skill set and within your mentality that can help you make positive contribution to your workplace and to others. You can lead. It's not about a title, and it's not about your authority, okay? So what we need to do is realize we can be a leader in ways where we have unique gifts, and we don't have to be the CEO or somebody's manager in order to impart these gifts. So that's one way that working moms, women, men, everybody gives power away by thinking we can't be a leader because we're not a manager. That's just wrong.
You know what's interesting is that when I was in the telecom business, I remember very distinctly we had a team of customer service representatives, and there was one woman who, just because of her attitude and her outlook and her way of thinking, she emerged as the leader of that group, and we promoted her very quickly because she thought like a leader. She wasn't in a position of power. She was leading her peers without that title and without that pay grade, but she stepped into that role, and so that role was created for her because they were following her no matter what she did. And
that's
so
right.
You know, we were like, why wouldn't we leverage someone like that? Why wouldn't we, you know, take those skills that she's already got and make the most of them? So
that's,
you know,
such that's a great point, Bettina. That's so great. She made it happen.
Yep.
She was a leader within herself. She imparted that ability, and they recognized it, and they gave her the title. But she didn't need that title to be a leader.
Exactly. She walked into it without the title, and I think that's so smart that you point that out.
And, you know, for working moms, we lead at home all the time. We don't have to prove to ourselves that we're a leader at home. We're leading our kids. You know, we're leading our families. We do. There's no two ways about that. And we don't feel like we have to prove anything. We just do it. And it's kind of the same at work. You just do it. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to have a title. You just do it. You can lead small projects, or you can volunteer for something, or you can just, you know, even around the water cooler, you can be a leader with your with your peers and colleagues. So the idea is to think in your head, I'm a leader and I don't need a title to prove it.
Yep, absolutely. I think that's healthy and it can lead to great things.
So you want to go to number two?
I do want to go to number two.
I love this one. Okay. The workplace is not a place for making friends. That's the myth, of course. That's the myth, though. But that's what a lot of people think, that you can't get too cozy and you can't get too friendly with your colleagues. It's a dog-eat-dog world and you have to, keep your friends close, your enemies closer, but you can't get too friendly. All those things. There are all those myths about that. But here's the deal. The workplace is a social place. Operative word, social. Your social life outside of work is social, but your life inside of work is social too. And we're all people. We're all social creatures. So why would the workplace be an exception to making friends?
It shouldn't be. And we've all seen how networking is one of the keys to progressing in your career. And the basis of networking is making those relationships, building those relationships. So it makes sense that in a professional environment, it's a great place to build friendships.
Absolutely. And another thing we say in the article is that a friend is someone who you like and respect. And why would you not want to be someone at work that people like and respect? Why would you not want to be their friend? Now, this doesn't mean you have to share every intimate detail of your life with people. Even in outside the workplace, we modulate how much we share as a friend with certain people in our lives, depending on what part of our lives they fill, whether it's other moms at school, or whether it's our best friends from high school and college, or whether it's, you're married and you have your best couple friends, and everybody kind of gets a little bit of a different way of building that friendship piece, depending on what that relationship is. And it's the same for the workplace. You build relationships according to who the people are, who you are, and sort of what that dynamic is within the walls of your office or your workplace. And it's a great place to make connections. And also, people end up being lifelong friends with people they work with, even when they go on to the next job or whatever. So you got to think about it. Plus, as what you said, Bettina, making friends at work is a career booster. Mm-hmm. It's networking. And it's also good for you personally. It's good for your well-being. There's all kinds of studies that say that friendships and tapping into friends and not being lonely and having friends makes you, feel better psychologically and even physically. It affects your health. And that's true at work, too. I mean, you wouldn't want to be isolated and a loner at work, would you? Because you're not going to feel good.
Absolutely. You want to feel good. You're spending most of your time there, so you want to feel good there. We're going to be back with more with Barbara Trivett right after this. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and you're listening to Working Mother Radio.
Ready to become an entrepreneur and purchase a business, but need funding? Sure, you can ask Dad, Aunt Betty, or friends for money, or you can turn to a company that has helped more than 10,000 entrepreneurs successfully launch their dreams of business ownership, Benetrends Financial. Through Benetrends' proven and innovative funding strategies, entrepreneurs like you get the funding you need quickly, safely, and economically. Get started today. Call 866-423-6387 or visit Benetrends.com. That's BENETRENDS.com. Benetrends.
And we are back with more Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. We're continuing our conversation about the five beliefs that mess up career success and how to change them. And Barbara Trivett, our executive editor, has joined us today to walk us through what these beliefs are and what they should be replaced with. The last one before the break that we were talking about was the myth that the workplace is not a place for making friends. And what should we be replacing this myth with in our minds?
What we replace that with is the idea that making friends in all aspects of my life are healthy, and making friends at work will give my career a lift because it's the way I network, it's the way I share ideas at work, and it also helps my personal well-being. And guess what? It makes your job more fun, period.
Yep,
so that's
absolutely.
That's what you tell yourself in your mind.
Now, the third one is my favorite on this list because I feel
like
so many people struggle with this one and we need to say it in a million different ways over and over again. If I say no and honor my boundaries, I won't be considered a team player.
Of course. Yeah, this is so working mom specific, isn't it? It's actually true for everyone because we know, particularly for millennials coming up, everybody wants a kind of a work-life fit or balance, if you want to use that word. Everybody wants that. Nobody wants their whole, people don't want their whole life to be about work anymore. So you have to set boundaries. Now, of course, working moms, we have to do this. I mean, that's built into our life. If we don't set boundaries at work, we can't pick up our kids from school. We can't make that doctor appointment. We can't go to that PTA meeting, or we can't get our kids to school in the morning. We have to create boundaries at work so that we can live a life that will make our family work well as well. So, I mean, we talk about this all the time at Working Mother, of course. It is, though, really, really hard to say no in all aspects of working moms' lives. We all know that. We all know that.
Yep.
And
yep.
We also feel like if we're asking, say we have a somewhat flexible schedule at work, okay, or say we set up a flexible schedule at work. So right away, we're afraid other people are going to kind of like sneer at us. Oh, well, she, gets to leave early on Fridays and blah, blah, blah. So that if someone comes to you when you have to leave, you immediately have to, you kind of feel like you have to accommodate them because you don't want them to think you're not a team player and that you're not, one of the guys or whatever. So, but the thing is, you've set up that schedule, so you must set boundaries so that that schedule can happen. Otherwise, what's the point?
Exactly. What is the point? So instead, we need to think it is important that I set boundaries between work and personal life and make those boundaries clear to my colleagues so I can be my most productive self. That is such a healthy way of putting it. And it really is true. And we all know that it's true. We just need to change our mindset.
And it really helps your productivity. It helps your career. It helps you. It helps your own mental and emotional health. And it will really, in the long run, your colleagues will respect you for setting boundaries. I absolutely believe that.
Absolutely. So do I. And number four, if I'm being bullied at work, my only options are either to accept it or quit. Now, that's just not true.
Yeah.
But
you know what?
True.
Unfortunately, that's what a lot of people, more people who are bullied at work quit their jobs than anything else.
Yeah.
Because they feel like they have no control over that at all. And that's understandable because if you are bullied, you feel there's a distinct loss of power for you. You can't help, you're feeling so horrible that you feel power, that you start to feel powerless.
I've been in a situation where I was bullied and I accepted it and just moved forward. And it's not okay. And now that I'm older, I see that. But it's a hindsight thing. When you're in it, it's very difficult to figure out how to handle it and how to deal with it. And I can see why people would just walk away. Absolutely.
That's right. When you think, and like if it's a person of authority over you, you think if I do anything about this, you're afraid you're going to lose your job.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a huge fear. And that's a lot of reason why people just, as you said, accept it. And this includes sexual harassment too, by the way. That's a form of bullying, of course.
Yeah.
And that's
absolutely
another thing that unfortunately a lot of women accept it. They don't accept it inside, but they think I have to deal with this or I'm going to get fired or I'm going to lose my job.
Oh, it's just locker room talk. Oh, wait, did I just say that?
And
what else?
Did you just say that? Get up,
bump. And our last one before we run out of time.
Wait, before we get to the last one, really quick, we just have to say that we're not going to accept bullying and we're not going to quit. You have to focus on a way to stopping it. And we have a great article called Workplace Bullies on WorkingMother.com. Just look it up. It's all the ins and outs about dealing with bullying in the workplace. So that can help you a lot.
Awesome.
And then
saying, go to workingmother.com. We've got all the good stuff. Okay, and then the last
me
one.
Too.
Complaining is
a
useful activity that lets me vent and relieve tension.
Yeah. You know, I'm guilty of this. I admit it. Sometimes, you get with your colleagues at work and you go in your office and you shut the door and you whine and you bitch, right? We all
right.
do.
Everyone
anyone
does it.
Anyone listening to this, if there is anyone out there who says they don't do this, I don't believe you. Okay, but here's the thing. That becomes sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. When you whine about things and don't do anything to fix them, in other words, when you do not work in the solution but you just sit in the problem, it just keeps on going. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It may temporarily make you feel a little better to moan and groan and complain, but honestly, in the long run, it doesn't make you feel better because it just puts your head in a bad state. Yep. So here's the thing. If you need to vent, do it fast and then move on to the solution. Work the solution. I say this forever and I've been saying it forever. Work the solution. Instead of focusing on complaining, focus on the solution to the complaints. That and boy, is that going to make you feel more powerful and it's going to make you feel just generally better. It probably can make all the rest of the points here work better too by working the solution.
Absolutely. Yep. As always, great advice from Barbara Trivette. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Bettina. Love to talk.
And don't forget to visit us at WorkingMother.com because, as you can tell, we've got the good stuff. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio. And stay with us because we've got Gina Tepper coming up with some great holiday ideas.
Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Working Mother Radio. And as I promised, it is our holiday edition of the show, and I am so excited to welcome back our crafting expert who is all about reusing, recycling, and making sure everything is budget friendly for us, Gina Tepper. Thank you so much for being here today with us, Gina.
Thanks for having me back. I love this show.
It's been too long. We've missed you. And you know, as soon as the holidays started coming around, we're like, wait, we need Gina. Where's Gina? We got to know what we're going to do. So let's get going. What, you know, tell us what you've got in your arsenal of holiday goodness for us.
Yeah. So things that you don't really need a lot to make great decorations and wrap beautiful gifts. There's certain things that I like to have. Number one, paint. The only paint that I like to use now is this new stuff. The people who make paint have finally realized, hey, we like to paint on other things other than paper. We like to paint on plastic or things we have around the house. Multi-surface craft paint. It's like less than a dollar. It's those regular acrylic paint, you know, like a cylinder or whatever you buy at the craft store. But look for multi-surface craft paint because I used to paint plastic and then the paint would peel off or it wouldn't dry or it would rub off and I was like, ugh. So I'd have to figure out, like, mix it with glue and make it better. But this is already done for you. So you just, and great colors, and every brand makes it. So it's not like I'm saying buy this brand or that brand. They all have it. It's great. So just buy the one that's on sale or the color that you like. So
I love that tip because I, too, have painted on plastic only to see it peel off and been so frustrated that I wasted my time like that. And actually, I have a craft waiting for me because this year one of my favorite pumpkins that I use that's plastic got really faded in the sun, and so I need to repaint it. So I bet you that'll work. So thank you.
And if you like already have all these colors of normal acrylic paint, just mix some white glue with it, and then that'll help it stick a little bit better. So there's another tip right there. So
that's something that I never would have thought of.
Yeah, if the glue makes it, it's weird, but it works. So also, the things that I love a clear, quick-dry craft glue. That is one of my go-to things. And also, white glue. Any white glue will do. It doesn't matter what you have. Just look in the kids' box, school box, and say, okay, this one was from last year. Because you know, every year you have to replenish, and they send it back to you. So just use that one. Sometimes I like to mix it with water just to make, you know, snows. Like put glitter on it and stuff, so you don't have that thick glob of white glue. So I love that. And I also like small scissors, like little scissors, because you can cut around the edges really easily instead of the big, huge scissors. Peel and stick felt. unbelievable. Somebody should get an award for making that. I love it. It's great for kids. I'm serious. It's awesome because you're just like, shoot, done. You know?
I didn't know that was a thing. Peel and stick felt.
Yeah, see? See what I'm talking about? Peel and stick felt. Anytime I show somebody that, I'm like, peel and stick felt. They're like, how'd you do that? I'm like, you just buy it. It's just you cut the shape. And it's great for kids if you're making, like, snowman faces or anything. You just make the shape, and they can just peel it right off.
Gina, I feel like you just rocked my world. Like, that you have no idea. How
I get so excited about this
me.
Stuff. It's silly, but, you know. So I also have glitter. I know. You're gonna go crazy. They have every color. You're gonna go crazy. You're gonna, wow.
Oh, I already see it coming. It's going to be a whole new world.
So you also have to have glitter, which, you know, holidays, you need glitter. And what little kid doesn't love glitter? And also your double-sided tape, which because when I wrap presents, I don't care whether I'm using reused stuff. I just like the edges to look more tailored, so I like to hide the tape so you don't see that shiny, you know, plastic thing sticking out. So that's all I use. I mean, it's really not anything expensive. It's just things you have, and that's it. So that's what I have. Now, I like to use stuff I have around my house, and I have a little bag in my garage of things that I save, and my husband's always like, why are you saving that? I'm like, because I'm going to use it.
<It's> like, I swear, trust me.
You know what I mean? And then anytime I get rid of something, he's like, I'm like, see, I knew I needed that. Why did I let him tell me to get rid of it? So I don't let him do that to me anymore. So paper towel rolls is one of my favorite things, and also the wrapping paper rolls. And since you're going to be wrapping presents, you can just slide it right out. You know, I have these deflated wrapping paper, you know, like tubes now because I pulled out so many of the rolls because I used them. But paper towel rolls, I love them. And some of the things I love to do, like these are fun things you can do with the kids. I made last year this North Pole out of a wrapping paper roll. I just painted it white and wrapped ribbon around it and put a round styrofoam ball on top. And then I put a little sign. I just printed out something that said North Pole, and then I glued it on a piece of cardboard and put, like, snow around it. My snow is just, like, either felt with glitter, or I use, like, you know the stuff they put in stuffed animals, that batting stuff? I just use that. Yep. And put glitter on. And I love it. The white glue, again, mixed with water, put it on, and sprinkle glitter, boom, sticks. It doesn't transfer. You know how a lot of times you get glitter and it's everywhere, and you're like, oh.
Yes.
But the North Pole thing is really cute. And you can make a small one with a paper towel roll, or you can, it's just fun. I like that kind of cartoony, you know, holiday, winter.
Who doesn't? Kind of like, all that cute stuff is what it's all about. That's so adorable.
Like, I look at some of the winter movies, you know, like the snowman stuff, and I try and duplicate it because it's just fun. I mean, people just love that stuff. And the other thing I like to do is, okay, terracotta pots. Those are really fun. You can turn them upside down, and I don't like to use real candles anymore. I used to love real candles. I don't use them anymore because of the kids, you know. It's just, what if you get to blow it out? What if the kid touches it? What if it knocks over? So I just use the flameless, you know. Everything I have is flameless now. It used to be, give me a wick and I'd light it, but no, not anymore. It's just like flameless candles. And, you know, the LED lights, we love those, right?
Oh, we love those.
Love it. So these are some fun things you can do with the kids, or decorations for the house with terracotta pots, the little ones. And if you turn them upside down, a tea light, the flameless tea lights, fit right on top perfectly. It's really fun. I realized that. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. So you can make little centerpieces like Santa hats. So if you just paint it with the red multi-surface paint, and then you put a tea light on top, and you can also use that fluffy, they have that fluffy, it's the thick fluff, you know, like not ribbon, but it's trim. It's like a fluffy trim. They sell that. You can buy it by the yard, and you just wrap it around the bottom. That's a really easy decoration, and you just put it around the table, and it's cute. It's colorful. Or you can make the terracotta pots and the snowman. Just give the kids some paint and let them create what they want, and they have so much fun, you know. Put pom-poms on it, make penguins, and then you have these little candle holders. It's really fun.
Oh, that's adorable. And, you know, we're all dealing with the fact that the kids are home. They're not in school.
Yes.
They're at home. They need something to do. We need to make our table pretty. So why not sit them down with those terracotta pots and some multipurpose paint and get them moving, and you get the tea lights. And now all of a sudden you've got a gorgeous a gorgeous table. I love it. We're going to be back with more tips from Gina Tepper for our holiday crafting right after this. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio. Stay with us.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Everybody, welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and I love this season. Tis the season to get crafty with Gina Tepper. Woohoo! It's Christmas time and Hanukkah time and holiday time, New Year's, and it's the land of glittery goodness. And I just, you know me, I just love to make everything as happy and as cheerful and fun as possible for the kids. And since they are home and they need stuff to do, why not enlist their help and make a table that they can take pride in too when your family comes over and your friends come over and they see, you know, what the kids have done. The kids stand up a little straighter. They have that little sense of pride. And also when you're giving gifts, it's so nice to put gifts under the tree and then hand them out when they've been specially gift wrapped with, you know, put that extra touch of love and you've done something to make it just a little even more special with the gift wrapping. And so Gina is my favorite go-to for how to make the perfectly gift wrapped present. So I'm really looking forward to hearing those tips. But right before we start this, Gina, I want to make sure, because I know people love to get these visuals, where our listeners can find you online. So if they want to put a face and some pictures with what's going on here, where do they go?
They can go to ginatepper.com. And also, you can go through my website to find all of my YouTube videos, because I post something weekly. And I'm really starting to have a lot of the stuff that I am talking about right now. If you don't see anything, just text me or email me through the site, and I will send you pictures. I do that all the time. Like, how do you do this? What did you use? What size box? I will tell you all of that, because I love this stuff so much that I'm happy to share.
So. Well, that's why we love having you so much, Gina. You're so passionate about it, and you really do try to make it so that people like me who like to dabble in being crafty but aren't, you know, innately crafty, try to make it user-friendly and fun, and so that we can use things that are already in our house or that aren't going to break the bank, and recycling and that kind of stuff is important too for the values that we're teaching our kids, to be able to show them, you know, look, you don't have to spend a fortune to make something beautiful or to have some fun and, you know, for an afternoon that you have off school. So we appreciate that. Now let's get into our gift wrapping. Give us some of your great tips on how to
make
our
gift special. I used to be one of these people that would go and spend $100 on gift wrap and accents. And I'm like, why am I doing that? That is silly. And everyone said, oh, I wrap the best presents. But then I started to use stuff I had around the house or not spend as much money, not even near that, and do stuff a little different, make everything different, and people love it even more. So you don't have to spend a lot of money. And the other thing I say is you're afraid to use the same wrapping that you have every year. I love to throw a gift wrapping party. This is a great thing because I don't know about you, but I wait until the last minute to wrap my gifts a lot. And get some people together and have them bring stuff. Have them bring some reused things, some stuff they have around the house, old buttons and yarn and old gift wrap. And then you can swap and you can be creative together and make some cookies and have some fun. And it's amazing because people get really frustrated with gift wrap. Oh, that's a chore. It's not a chore. It's fun. Make it a party. Make it fun, you know. So that's one of my ideas to just make it a little more festive. But this is what I say. You're shopping a lot. There are some absolutely beautiful shopping bags out there that you can, I love shopping bag gift wrap. And what I like to do is take the beautiful paper. Now, you don't want the store name on it because they're like, oh, you bought it from here. No. You just, like, some of the stores have gorgeous gift bags. And I just cut them and use them or even glue the pieces together, and I can make beautiful gift wrap out of it. And also, one of my little tricks is you take the handle and you can unravel it, and it's like a ribbon. It's really cool looking, actually. And you can even add some paint to it, and it's really pretty. I mean, I have examples of how to do this, and people freak out. They're like, wow, I didn't know you could do that. It's really cool. So
oh,
I do
wow.
that. It's really, really pretty. Now, natural elements. love to teach the kids about the outdoors, and they love to explore. I love to go outside with the kids and have them gather things and to use for accents on gift wrap. And it's really fun. I like twigs and, like, well, pine cones obviously is great, but just little things they find outdoors. And you can paint them, you can add glitter to them, and use them, attach them to the gift wrap. And it's really pretty. It looks a lot nicer than one of those blob stick-on bows. And it's stuff that they picked, so they like to accent things. They like to,
you know, it's funny, as I took this piece of advice from you, and I sent my daughter out to get stuff from the yard. And she came back, and I was like, whose yard were you in? Like, I didn't even realize those things were in my backyard. And she came up with some really awesome stuff. Like, she found these berries that I didn't know we had that were attached to a cute little twig. And we put those on there. And then we added some cinnamon sticks that I had in the cabinet. And it was so, so cute. And I loved that, because those are when I get gifts that have those little touches on them, I just feel like somebody went, you know, they just thought about me a little more. And it's so easy to do. And she loved it. She couldn't wait to pass around the gifts that she had wrapped. And, you know, it's so much fun. I love the natural elements. And I also, you know, something else that we did was we spray painted some of the natural things gold to match what we were doing. That was a really good idea too.
And you can use rocks. I mean, how many times can you find rocks? Decorate the rocks and stuff. I love like pebbles and rocks on gifts. I know that sounds weird, but it's really beautiful. You can really make it pretty. And I just like that. Now, the other thing I like to do, and I know I've told you about this before, but I get such a great response from this, so I'm going to tell you again, how to make pillow boxes from wrapping paper rolls or tissue or paper towel rolls. You just cut it the size that you want and push in both of the ends. And you just decorate it with a piece of ribbon or buttons or whatever you have, and you have a really cute pillow box. So I really like that idea.
Also, and they end up looking great. They end up looking so. Do you have a picture of that on your website?
Yes, I do. It's actually on my blog right now. I think it's one of the first things on there. And people love it. Like, when I show people, this is what you can do. Now, how many bags of gift wrap or the gift bags that you've had with worn tissue, and you're like, oh, it's kind of whatever. Now, what I like to do is wrinkle it more. Like, if you have red or you have gold, if I wrinkle it more and wrap a present with it, it almost looks like a gilded or hammered look. It's really pretty, actually. So I like to reuse things and turn it into gift wrap. Now, if you're going to wrap with tissue, don't use tape because it's not very forgiving. Just use some glue. That way you can move it around and everything. But I did some gift wrap with tissue, and it's been... Some people, they think it's like their favorite. They're like, wow, that's really beautiful. The metallics work really nicely. So,
yeah, the metallics look gorgeous. We're going to come back with more from Gina Tepper right after this. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and we have more of Gina Tepper and her great crafting ideas. We are focusing on wrapping our Christmas gifts and our Hanukkah gifts. And so, Gina, now, when you end up buying some of these toys that I get for these kids, they're like these weird shapes and sizes. Uh-huh. How do you deal with things that are not, you know, just in a cute little box or don't fit in a cute little box?
Well, there's a couple things that I like to do. One, if it's huge, then don't wrap it. Well, you can put a bow on it, but put it somewhere else. And then wrap a box and put it under the tree or whatever that has a picture of it inside, but wrap the present real pretty. So that's something that was big, and you're like, I don't want to use two rolls of wrapping paper to wrap this bike or whatever it is. So that's always fun, and that's fun because it's almost like a little scavenger hunt, so they have to go look for it. So they love that. So there's one thing. But if it's smaller, like a toy that has, like, or like my son, how it might be a dragon with, you know, horns or something, you're like, that horn's going to poke through the wrapping paper. So a couple things that you can do. You can wrap it in something soft, like a bubble wrap or something, so you can wrap it the same way. Or what I usually like to do is put it in a... People don't usually like gift bags, but I like to make a beautiful gift bag because you can make some really pretty things. People say they don't like to do it for Christmas or any winter holiday because they're like, oh, you're supposed to wrap as you wrap the present. But I make some really pretty holiday gift bags where you just cover the front of it, and you can make, you just can do some really pretty things, like put ornaments on it. You can put a toy in the front. You can paint it. So in order for it not to poke through, there's those options you have, to wrap it in something soft so it won't poke through, or the gift bag or a box. But that's the only way really to do it, because you can wrap in a lot of paper too, but that's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, exactly. That gets frustrating. Now, so I want that wow factor for a gift that I'm giving to my husband, and he's a guy, you know, but I want it to be really, really beautiful. What's your one big eye grabber, you know, if you want to get that one that everybody's talking about, what's that gift wrap idea?
Well, it's funny because you would think that guys don't care about gift wrap as much as women, but it's not true. Whenever I've given a guy a gift wrap that's like beautiful, they're like, oh, they never want to open it, and I'm like, wow.
Yep. Yeah.
That's really funny. So you're right about that. So the thing with guys, what I typically like to do is, first, I like to know the person and wrap according to that person's what they like. So if you kind of customize it, and they appreciate that. So different things you can do. Like some things I've done for my husband is, if I put a picture on that he doesn't even know that I had, or he doesn't remember, like that's part of the ribbon or the accent piece, is I put like ribbon and then a picture of him, or I find something that he likes, almost like a little extra gift, like maybe he likes wine, you can put a pretty bottle opener on there, or something that just part of the ribbon.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Or you can find some really nice ornaments, like you find something that's maybe the color that he likes or something that he knows is like special. Like, I don't know, even though he's an adult, maybe he likes something that's more like kid-like, something from his childhood that he loves that you can accent it with. But that's what I like to do, is I like to find the colors that they like. I try and personalize everything, not just make it look beautiful, but make it for that person. That way it can look beautiful and it can be like, wow, that was really meant for me. You know. And
I love the idea of printing a picture that they don't even necessarily remember that you had. I love that. That's a great idea.
It surprises them, and then you won't forget who it's for, too, because the picture's right on the front. You're like, oh, yeah, that's him.
Well, thank you so much, Gina. I can't believe we're out of time already. It always goes so fast with you, but I hope you have a wonderful holiday, and
you
thanks
too.
So much for sharing your great ideas with us.
Thanks a lot for having me. Have a great holiday.
Thank you. That's it for us today at Working Mother. And thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget, if you don't have your issue of Working Mother magazine, make sure that you re-up your subscription. Go to workingmother.com and you can make that happen right there. And as well, check out all of our new information on workingmother.com. We have got new videos up on the Motherhood Corner. You can get some insight to my trip to Costa Rica. We've got a 3-part video covering everything that I did and all the fun that we had with the kids. You can see my kids on there. It's really cute. It's a lot of fun. And then also we've got a couple new videos on fashion and on how to carry on that superwoman mentality that we've got, and how to keep it healthy. So check us out there at the Motherhood Corner. That's on workingmother.com on the videos page. And as always, we want to hear from you. Go to social media. Check us out. I'm at Bettina Bush, BettinaBush on Facebook and on Twitter. And on Instagram, you can follow me at Bettina Bush Official. I would love to hear from you, and I want to know what you want to know. So please exchange some ideas with me. Let me hear what you have to say. I'd love to bring you what you want to hear here on our show. And don't forget, there's no way to be a perfect mom. There are a million ways to be a good one. Have a wonderful holiday.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time. All while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.